producer, El Pacifico, Bill Hendricks.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Behind me, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, you see the New York Times, the front page of the New York Times for this day, February 13th, 1900.
Hey.
Thanks, bud. Welcome to our second hour here. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we are on online at philhenryshow.com with Phil TV in HD, just streaming the hell out of things, man. And tonight, as well as last evening, and we hope forevermore, we're available on all devices, all mobile devices, as our iOS stream is functioning handsomely. And the picture that you get on your iPhone, I don't know if you've got an iPhone, but I was looking at it. I haven't looked at it tonight, but last night, unbelievable. Beautiful clarity. You were looking at it, Margaret, right?
Yes, I was. And as a matter of fact, it's a better picture, I think, than the desktop. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is.
It's a lot clearer, that's for sure. So if you want, and also, you know, if you're not watching live, you don't have to. You can see it on demand tomorrow with your backstage pass. Just go to our member login area, and you go to recent shows, and you hook up, tonight's show, February 13th, and you'll see different selections there for the audio stream, for the audio download, and also for the video cast right there at philhenryshow.com. On the line with me, and these gentlemen have been nice enough to hold themselves over here, Stephen Bozell and Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, Mr. Santos, to reintroduce our audience, because we're in a new hour, and I'm remiss in doing this. I really should not start the hour without introducing people to you again. You are with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, not an official police agency, correct?
Mr. Henry, I've explained that to you countless times.
Yes, but just for a new audience.
All right, for people who are tuning in for the first time, we are not politically connected to the police. We feel that we represent the citizens much better as a Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're free. We don't have our hands tied. We're free to roam. We roam about. And we also spread out and do the things, in other words, that police agencies do.
Can I just ask you a question, sir?
Mr. Henry was asking me to explain.
No, I understand that, Mr. Bozell, but as you called it, I was interdicted, and that's what I've got an inter. You gave me an inter. You said that I got interdicted.
That is correct, sir. Yeah, we said you were a subject of being. You had been interdicted.
Well, what does that mean? He was interdicted.
It means that we had discussed with him. He didn't get a ticket. We just talked to him and told him.
Yeah, but you didn't give me a ticket, sir, but you recorded me, and you have now played it several times, without my knowledge.
Well, that's something that I know is an actionable thing, recording somebody without their knowledge, okay? And so I know that that is something that Mr. Bozell could probably bring some kind of a complaint for.
No, Mr. Henry, because as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we simply recorded him for our own protection. That's the point that I'm trying to make, so that we would not be the subject of a lawsuit.
All right, well, let's cut through all of this, guys, because what we're talking about here is that Mr. Bozell was teaching his daughter Western-style riding or English riding or something having to do with show riding because his daughter was a big fan of that. He was then photographed. He was in shock when he saw you guys getting out of your van because it was a black van with blacked out windows. And he had some fear that you were offenders or you meant some kind of harm.
Well, and we did not mean any harm. I came out with a helmet cam. We had the blue armbands on.
Well, I didn't know anything about it. Look, sir, I don't know anything about a helmet cam. I did not know what a blue armband represented. If I had simply recognized you as, and I don't mean anything by this, as a man, I didn't even see you as a man, you know, and I'm not offended by that, sir. You're not offended by that?
No, sir. I mean, I can understand if you saw a helmet cam.
Well, I know, but I just said I didn't even know you were a man, and you're not offended by that?
No, sir, I'm not offended by it.
Well, I'm glad, but to me, that'd be the lowest cut. That would be almost like taking a pool cue. I can't even describe it. If someone said to me they didn't recognize me as... If someone said to me they didn't...
Slow down.
Yeah, slow down.
If somebody said to me they didn't recognize me as a man, that would be like taking the cue ball and just jamming it right in there. The cue ball off of a billiard table. You understand that?
Yes, sir, I understand that, but I recognize you didn't see me as a man. I think you said that you thought I was something from the gates of hell. I don't know what that means, but...
So you didn't recognize the helmet cam, and he was in, the sun was behind him, and you weren't quite sure what you were looking at. Is that fair, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir, that's what I mean.
Okay, let's move on past that. Now what we have is this man, Mr. Santos, moving up the hill towards you. At that instant, you were doing what?
At that instant, I was on the horse demonstrating to my daughter side saddle. And if you know anything about riding horses, it's not necessarily something that you want the whole world to know, that you're showing your daughter how to ride side saddle. And why is that, sir? Who's asking the question? It's Jay Santa, sir. Well, you asked me all kinds of questions that day on the hill. And that's always going to go down in my mind is that day on the hillside. Because that's how traumatized I was.
All right, let me ask you, what is embarrassing about the side saddle? I know that it's women ride side saddle, right?
Yes, sir, women ride side saddle. There you go, bingo. And there I am in a pair of pants, and I got my legs squeezed together like, because I'm showing my daughter how to be a lady about it, okay?
Yeah, and you're not a lady. When you had your legs pinched together... And all I did was hit the Zoom, that's all, because I thought it looked a little funny, and I let Mr. Bozell know this, and he got very, very upset. I'm not making no comment on your manlyhood or anything having to do with that, sir. I simply said to the guys, hey, watch this, and I'd hit the Zoom. And you know, it wasn't meant as anything.
Why did you hit the Zoom?
Because he squeezed his legs together like a woman, and then he you know... And he screamed.
Yeah, see, that's it, Mr. Henry. This is why we filed a lawsuit to get possession of that tape. And so far, not only do I not have possession of it, I've been listening to this thing being played over and over again.
Well, I don't know.
All right, now hold on. You are suing him to get possession of the tape. We've got the tape. I'm sorry, sir. I'm going to have to play it so people know what we're talking about, Mr. Bozell.
Well, okay, that's fine. I've been humiliated up one side, down the last.
Sir, this is evidence now. You're the one that called. You're the one that called a lawyer, not me. I didn't call. I didn't holler a cop. You hollered cop.
I thought you were the cops.
We are a citizen. Nobody hollered auxiliary cop. Well, I.
You know something, Mr. Santos? One of the problems is your very confused status here. You're not a cop. You're getting out of a van that is painted black and does have blacked out windows, and I think that's very weird. And you're wearing a helmet cam. Here's a guy trying to show his daughter, so teaching his daughter something on a Sunday afternoon, whether or not he was riding side saddle.
It was. I thought it was funny to see a guy with a side saddle. That's all.
That's what I mean, Mr. Henry. All it is one solid assault on my manliness. All it is one solid, almost as if my manhood was a rack of billiard balls, and he's got the break. You understand what that means, don't you?
Yes, sir, I understand. All right, well, let's listen to what is in dispute. People have to hear what's in dispute. This is Mr. Bozell, and can we put the phones on hold for a second? But here is Mr. Bozell, as he did recognize the Citizens Auxiliary Police guys getting out of their van, coming up the hill. It took him by surprise. All right, so we'll play it one more time so that people can hear. This is Mr. Bozell. He's sitting there on a horse, side saddle. He sees the Citizens Auxiliary Police officers getting out of their van, moving toward him. And he lets out with that scream, and that is apparently what... All right, Mr. Bozell, you obviously heard that.
I heard that. I've been hearing it in my sleep, and I've been hearing it in my waking moments. I hear it when the guys at work laugh at me. I hear it when my son... walks by me in the kitchen and goes, ah! And when my son, and God forgive me, but when my son did that, I had to beat him. Oh, I beat him bad. And why would you do that, sir? Why would I do that? Because a guy by the name of Santos played over and over and over on radio shows all over Los Angeles and everywhere else, me, after he comes walking up the hill looking like something out of the gates of hell.
So the lawsuit is being filed, and when is it going to be heard?
I understand. I got to get with my attorneys, Dolores Blazingame.
And hold on, who is representing you, Jay?
I'm not going to hire a lawyer. We're going to let this thing play out because I don't think he's got a leg to stand on. And if he does have a leg to stand on, it's squeezed up tight with the other leg, riding side saddle. Good night, and have a very pleasant. Good night, gentlemen.
Okay, all right. So you heard him, Mr. Henry, and I would like a tape recording of this. I'd like a tape recording.
Okay, Steve, just one thing, okay?
Please don't tell me to man up.
That's exactly what I'm going to tell you to do, to man the hell up, okay? As Denzel Washington said in Training Day, man up, dog, man up, you know.
Yeah, well, Denzel, does anybody have Denzel Washington on tape sound like this? I don't think so.
Man up, dog. Or is that, he's gone?
Yeah. Yeah, he just faded away.
He just faded away, huh?
Yeah, he was there for a minute. I was monitoring every second, and just gradually he just deteriorated into...
Well, a man like that, if I can call him a man, doesn't... A man like that doesn't just hang up. He just comes apart.
All right, let's be kind, okay? Mr. Bozell obviously has some emotional issues that I don't know anything about, but we'll hear about the lawsuit to get possession of that tape that you just heard of him squealing. I shouldn't call it squealing.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that he's taken exception to. When his son come by and his son go, ooh, like that, that's your own kid doing that, you know.
Yeah, but he said he beat his son.
I don't buy that for a minute. I'm sure that he chastised the boy.
But I will tell you that he's probably taken enough ridicule. And this guy Santos running around as a cop has got to go. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley coming up with a little interview with Margaret Gray on her forthcoming podcast that'll be debuting, I believe, next week. Mm-hmm, the Bobby Dooley podcast. You don't want to miss that. It's all ahead here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show. Now, in a few minutes here on the Truth Is Our Bitch Phil Henry Show, we will have Bobby Dooley joining us to talk about her new podcast. Margaret, what, you know, I never have asked you. So you got no ego thing with that?
No, I don't have any ego. Look, I'm on your radio show every night. She's on a podcast. Now, I understand that potentially she's got 44 million listeners, and your radio show, who knows? And that hurts. It does.
Okay, do we have to run my ego into the ground, too?
Well, Phil, I'm just giving your audience... So, she has potentially... There's 40 million people that listen to podcasts in the United States. And that is growing by leaps and bounds. And as you pointed out to me, and I didn't know it, so I had to go and do the research, conversely, there are fewer and fewer people listening to the radio. And your show...
Okay, that's shot number two.
Yeah, but Mr. Henry, she's just trying to make the point.
I got the point already. And your show, why, there's probably not even one human being.
All right, you said it, I didn't. That's on you, not me.
Okay, Margaret, great.
But the point that I'm making is that I'm on a radio show every night with you. Bobby's doing her podcast. I think there's enough for everybody. There's enough to go around. Everyone gets well.
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds like a heroin addict or something.
Like a what?
Sound like a junkie.
Sound like the way the dealers talk in junkies.
The way that dealers... What are the two of you saying?
When you said everybody gets well, it's a drug term.
Oh, my ass. Would you... Look, at you made me use a dirty word.
Ms. Ray, all I'm saying...
I don't want to hear from you. I'm saying everyone gets well. We're going to give that a connotation of health and of positivity, and it no longer means that we're all getting a fix and... We're going to get well, and we won't be sick.
Well, all right. I mean, it's good. You're conversing with the terms, too.
You're conversing. Quit playing the little innocent, Phil. You know what we're talking about.
Well, I understand that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't even...
Yeah, just let it go, will you?
Fine, I'm letting it go. So, yeah, but I do agree with you. Bobby and you guys got no reason to fall. I'm very happy to hear that. Bobby Dooley, though, will be interviewed by Margaret Gray coming up. If students at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, can't get inside the heads of their rivals at Duke University, they can at least say they got inside the head of the Blue Devil mascot.
What's a Blue Devil?
That's the mascot of Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what is that?
Yeah, what is a Blue... Is a Blue Devil...
It's a Blue Devil, man. I don't know what it is. It's a Blue Devil. I'm sure that it has some meaning.
Well, see, that's just it, Phil. You can say that it has some meaning, but what is it?
I don't know. I don't know the history of the Duke Blue Devil.
Is it a section of hell? And I'm not trying to be funny.
Is it a section of hell? What do you mean by that?
Well, like, is that place where the Blue Devil?
No, it's not a cooler area of hell. Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying, is it like a ring?
No, it's not a ring of hell, man. I.
Well, if you don't know what it is, how do you know?
Are you guys trying to piss me off again?
No, just I wanted to know.
Don't start bawling, bud, okay?
Every time I want to know something.
He has the right to know, Phil.
Oh, does he have the right to know? He doesn't have the right to know. Every time I'm talking, he doesn't have the right to know.
But that lady said, man, she posted on Facebook. She said, all you ever do is argue with us. You ought to do the show and have more variety and everything.
Whatever that lady posted, I don't care, okay? I wouldn't be fighting with you guys if you didn't butt in and ask me, what's a blue devil? Is that a section of hell? Is it one of the rings of hell? I just want to know. And then there's all kinds of crying, and then I take crap from Margaret, and here we go again. I don't know what a blue devil is. Look it up, bud.
I'm looking up on Winklepedia.
That's it. Look it up on Winklepedia.
Well, what do you call it?
Wikipedia. And by the way, as I've often said, Wikipedia is not a good source of information. It is edited, and it is written primarily by people that are internet users. There's nothing wrong with that. But oftentimes they don't source their material. They don't have footnotes for their material. It's a mess. All right. If students at UNC Chapel Hill can't get inside the heads of their rivals at Duke University, they can at least get inside the head of the Blue Devil mascot. On the verge of Wednesday night's basketball game between the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils. You're going to ask me what a Tar Heel is?
No, I know what that is.
You do? Well, why don't you enlighten all of us?
No, I better not say.
It ain't got nothing to do with black people, man.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't, man.
All right. I don't want to hear it. I better not say.
I'll belt you, man.
All right, easy, Robert. So, on the verge of Wednesday night's basketball game between the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils, the mascot head was reported stolen and posted above the UNC bookstore. It was stolen and posted above the UNC bookstore. A spokesperson for Duke confirmed that the mascot head was stolen and found on the UNC campus. Bookstore manager Kyle McKay tweeted a picture of himself posing with the head in the text, "Cops came and picked it up." UNC police came to recover the head and is investigating the theft with Duke University Police. Wow, there's some serious stuff going on with those campus cops over there, man. I'll tell you what.
Well, Phil, the campus police have, unfortunately, some very serious things that they have to look into these days, not the least of which was Virginia Tech.
I understand, Margaret. I'm not trying to minimize the... especially in conjunction with what happened at Virginia Tech. If you're thinking about what happened at Virginia Tech, and they're just trying to get back a mascot head... You know, this kind of jazz has been going on for years. Now, all of a sudden, it's headline news. This is the thing I hate about this new era of information. Even the most trivial garbage is making national headlines, man. Next thing you know, some guy with a bad case of diarrhea is going to be, if they're really running short of news, that's going to be the headlines.
Oh, don't be asinine.
I'm not being asinine. I'm being literal. Stuff that never would ever have made national news 5 years ago, 10 years ago, now it's all national news. Some guy knocks over an outhouse. I'll never forget that story as long as I live. That was a classic example of what I'm talking about. Some dude got into a fight with another guy, and they knocked an outhouse over. That was, in essence, the story.
That made national news.
And that made, in other words, something that probably happened daily for the first, 150 years of the history of this country, an outhouse getting knocked over someplace, now it's national news.
Well, if you think about it, if it's that common, it should be national news, shouldn't it?
Well, why isn't a guy mowing his lawn national news, then? Why isn't somebody going to the bathroom national news? Why isn't someone brushing their teeth national news? If it's that common, it should be national news.
Well, brushing your teeth is, if you think about the amount of money that's spent to advertise toothpaste.
Yeah, that is a point. And another thing, what do they call it?
What?
When you mow your lawn.
A lawnmower?
No. When you mow the lawn, no. What are you mowing?
You're mowing grass, man.
Yeah, I know that, but what is it that makes the grass grow?
Fertilizer?
No, the other thing.
Fertilizer seed.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Grass seed.
Jesus, bud. Why is it so tough with you, man? You talk about a commercial for grass seed.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it.
You couldn't think of grass seed? In any event, that is, well, that's a good point. It is very, very common, and it is so common that it's not really a news story so much as it is an item to sell for millions and billions and trillions of dollars. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley and the Bobby Dooley Podcast. Margaret Gray will be joining us for this in-depth interview with one of America's most fascinating women, Bobby Roberta Dooley. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
There it is, bud.
That's not a very big headline.
We just, as I mentioned, you guys here at the El Pacifico in our video studio, as we videocast our games, we videocast our radio show as well as broadcast it. We show the New York Times front page from 1901, a president shot at Buffalo Fair.
But was that not a buffalo?
I tried to tell these guys, no, it was not buffaloes. It was Buffalo, New York.
Oh, well, you said Buffalo Fair. You talked about Indian.
No, I did not talk about Indians. No, it's not a Buffalo Fair. It was at Buffalo, New York, that poor President McKinley was shot, and that's the headline. If it ain't big enough for you, bud, talk to the New York Times, okay?
Yeah, don't they care in those days about President get a shot?
Yeah, they did, man. Lincoln got shot. They cared about that.
Well, they just didn't do headlines the way they do now.
Yeah, they were much smaller, and they didn't get into the whole banner headline thing for a couple more years. It wasn't much longer. Maybe, you know, 2-3 more years, then New York Times and other newspapers started to banner headlines, which was those big block letters across the top of a newspaper. But in those days, they still kind of kept them limited to a column or two, depending upon the news. I guess McKinley getting shot wasn't big enough news. I don't know. All right. Bobby Dooley is going to join us now from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and Margaret Gray is on with us here. We're going to talk to Bobby, and I called her one of America's most fascinating women. Because I really think you are, Bobby. I think with the new podcast, you are entering a new era of celebrity, I guess. What do you think about that?
Well, Phil, it's very exciting, and we're very humble, Steve and I. We certainly, at the same time, wonder why it took so long, because we had been on your radio show for a long time talking about the things that we are interested in and the things that we like to do, and no one ever called to say, not that they weren't interested, because they were interested, but we never got a call of
an offer that you felt was adequate.
What's that, Margaret?
Of an offer. You never got an offer you felt was adequate.
That's correct. We never got an offer that, as Margaret said, we thought was good.
Yeah, we got a lot of people call up. But I always told him, yeah, get out of here, get out, you know.
Steve's acting as my agent and business manager.
And how's that working out for you?
Well, why do you ask?
Well, I just wonder, Steve is not a professional. He's your husband, and sometimes that's good or bad.
Well, my husband loves me very much.
No, I believe he does. But sometimes that kind of professional-personal relationship.
Yes, no, I understand. I really don't know. How do you think you're doing, Steve, as my manager and agent?
I'm doing good. How I'm doing?
Yes. How do you think you're doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Way good. It's the people. See, I talked to the man that's going to do your podcast, and he doesn't understand or anything.
Okay, I want to jump in here, Steve. I know everybody over at Sideshow. They have a number of podcasts. They've got my podcast there. We're going to have the Milwaukee Lion podcast over there. They've got, my goodness, I believe Adam Carolla's, if not Adam Carolla's podcast. I know Adam is over with the guys at Launchpad. So there's a lot of podcasts over there. Rick Overton's, as I mentioned, and others. So I think Bobby's in very, very good company there, and I think she's going to be served very, very well by the people over there.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, I just, I wish they'd call me back and everything.
Well, we do want a couple of things that they have been very slow in providing, Phil. One of them is a car to the studio. Now, I understand that you said that you provided the car.
Yeah, we will provide a car. My company, which also, folks, is helping to produce the Bobby Dooley podcast.
So now I see how this is all shaking out. So this is one big happy family, isn't it?
Now, hold on, Margaret. You know, yes, and you're part of that family, too.
Margaret, what's the problem? Phil, you knew he was producing.
No, I did not know that you were producing. You're producing and what else?
Margaret, it's none of your business. It's one of my things, okay?
Boy, ain't that a son of a...
What did she call me?
She didn't call you anything.
I didn't call you anything. I said, ain't that a son of a bitch? There.
God, what a mouth on that woman. Anyway.
Excuse me, would you put a leash on your husband, if you don't mind?
I don't need to put a leash on my husband, and I really don't think that is not necessary for you to talk that way. And I would ask you to apologize.
I don't think it was necessary either, Margaret.
All right, I'm sorry, but I'm very hurt.
What are you hurt by? I said I would provide a car for the Bobby Dooley podcasts for the guests.
Oh, for the guests.
Yeah, that, Mr. Henry, you didn't say you'd get one for a Dooley.
For a Dooley?
Yeah, I said, well, you get one for any Dooley. Just a Dooley will do. And remember when I put that at the top of the napkin, a Dooley will do?
I thought you were drunk. We'd been drinking that afternoon.
Yeah, we had.
I had been sitting there drinking with Mr. Dooley to try to get everything made so that you wouldn't be angry and that Bobby would be taken care of. I told you at the time that we will send a car for the guests. We're not sending a car for Ms. Dooley because you told me you were driving your wife.
Well, I am, but I mean, you didn't offer to... you didn't even offer to... When I presented Dooley will do, you didn't even twitch or you didn't even show that you had a nervous twitch or anything.
Yeah, but Steve told me, Phil...
What do you mean a Dooley will do?
Steve said... I'll do it, Steve. Steve said that was a part of the contract that you would provide a car for any Dooley. Okay?
Meaning, like, your sons?
No. Any adult.
So that would mean either you or Steve?
Yes, or if Steve's family came to visit. Well, still, it would just be me or Steve, because not his family. My family, my sister, not my sister, but my father.
Okay, so three Dooleys, right?
Well, one, yeah, is not really a Dooley. He's a Dutton, my father. But when we said a Dooley will do...
Your father, so your maiden name is Dutton?
Yes, Bobby Dooley Dutton.
Yeah, Bobby, well, I didn't know that. Is that your name?
Okay, you know what? Hold on for a minute.
Don't you know your wife's maiden name?
Hold on for just to put him on hold, would you please?
Well, Phil, what is...
Okay. This is getting out of control. I want to talk about the podcast. I don't want to have any arguing.
What are you looking at me for?
I'm looking at you, Ms. Dooley.
You called me Dooley, you dirty filth.
All right, sit down now. Hold on for just a minute. I'm sorry I didn't mean to call you Dooley. I'm saying that I called you Dooley by mistake. What I'm saying, Margaret, is simply this. I'm saying that I want this to get back to what it was all about, and that is she... Would you please put her on hold, bud? What I'm saying is that... Where are you going?
I'm sorry. I'm not sitting still for this.
Okay.
You lousy stick...
All right, go ahead. Put Bobby on. Put her on, man.
Hey, Bobby. Bobby.
Yes?
There's a fire in the studio. I'm only kidding.
What is that? I don't understand that.
What was that?
You said to put her on.
I'm going to kick your ass, I swear to God.
I don't appreciate that language, Mr. Henry.
Get out of here, bud. Bobby, as far as the car goes, so we can get back to talking about the podcast...
Where's Margaret?
She left.
No, I'm here, but I...
Well, I thought you left.
No, you play the chicken? No, you don't play any chicky game with me.
All right, well, here's what I want to ask you, Phil. First of all, are you sending me a car or are you not?
If you want a car, we'll send you a car. We were sending cars for other... Nobody's taking us up on the car offer. You understand that? We offered a car for everybody that's coming in to be a guest on your podcast, and no one has taken us up on it.
Hold on for a minute now. You got Sugar Ray Leonard, and you had Joel McHale. He's a big star, and they're not even going to get in a limousine?
It's not a limo. We offer a town car to pick them up and bring them over to the studio. No. because they're all regular folks, okay? Sugar Ray Leonard was there. Patty Arquette, she drives herself. Joel McHale, he drives himself. People drive their own cars these days. We don't have that goofy, everybody needs a limo thing going on.
Oh, so that makes me petty, is that it?
No, it doesn't make you petty. It just means that nobody has taken us up on the car.
Well, we don't want a car either. But the minute anybody want a car, don't we want, we're going to want a car. Okay? But any dually will do, it's going to hold in.
Yeah, any dually will do. Let's just say this, Steve. If you guys need a town car for whatever reason related to the podcast, we'll be happy to send one.
What does that mean exactly? Does that mean we'll get transportation?
Yes. Yes, that's what it means.
Any dually will do.
Forget about any dually will do. We're not even, I don't want to call it that because it sounds like a cartoon show. Okay?
As long as you understand what the parameters are, Phil, because I was very offended when I heard that you had said, but they didn't want it.
No, nobody has taken us up on the offer of a car, and I'm sure that they won't. Oh, maybe one or two. All right, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley joining us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we continue to talk here about the new Bobby Dooley podcast. Now, Bobby, before we take a break, tell me who we will expect to hear from in the first few weeks of the podcast.
Phil, we're going to have, very, very delighted to have, as you've mentioned, Tommy Chong, who I thought it was the baseball player, and it's not. It's Tommy Chong.
What baseball player?
Tommy Chong was the baseball player.
Yeah, I had a surgery on a Tommy Chong.
You mean Tommy John?
I know. Tommy John. I thought that was the pot smoker.
No, Tommy Chong, and Tommy Chong is the comic who made marijuana smoking part of his act with Cheech Marin. Tommy John's the baseball player.
Right. So we interviewed him, but either way, I did say, I said, are you Tommy John? I said something. I said, are you the pot smoker or are you the bionic arm? And he was delightful. He just was delightful, Tommy John. We had a great time with him.
Well, what did he say to that?
Well, he didn't say anything. He just, he stared at me and...
had done a look on his face and said, are you stoned? Are you stoned? And he just, and he looked.
Yeah, he just looked at things. Just delightful. Interviewing Tommy Chong is like interviewing, I guess it's like interviewing a cat, the way they look at things, you know?
Yeah, he would just look at things like a cat. And then I said, do you want to have a car? Do you want to have a car? And he just stared at me.
It sounds to me like Tommy had a real ball with you guys just staring at you, huh?
Well, what does that mean? Does it mean that we're freaks?
It sounds a little bit like that, dear, that he thought you were freaks on a wheel.
Well, no, we're not freaks on a wheel. Excuse me, Margaret. You know, but Steve...
No, I, you're the one that started down this line of discussion that Tommy Chong was staring at you. Now, think about it.
Yeah, you just think because he's staring at me that I'm a freak on ice skates. And that's not a case.
We don't think that was the case at all. We just thought that he was stoned.
Well, don't make those assumptions, all right? Don't just say, oh, Tommy Chong must be stoned all the time. The guy's a humorist. He's a comic. He's a satirist. And that is part of his satire. It doesn't mean he's walking around loaded any more than Foster Brooks walks around drunk all the time.
Who?
Yeah, who's Foster Brooks?
That's the sunglasses, right?
No, Foster Brooks is an old Las Vegas comic that did, you know, he did a drunk. All right, we're going to take a break.
He did a drunk.
Yeah, I looked at Phil, too. What does that mean?
He performed as if he was drunk. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ah. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and our final few seconds or minutes here with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley on the Bobby Dooley podcast. So what we have, Bobby, is you'll be kicking off with the aforementioned names. We're talking about Tommy Chong, Sugar Ray Leonard, right?
Sugar Ray Leonard was delightful, Phil. We interviewed him at great length. I just found him to be wonderful. He talked about his family. He talked about how he got the name Sugarman.
You mean Sugar Ray?
Go ahead. This is my husband, Steve. Go ahead. But, Steve, hold on a minute. Don't only talk when I tell you that you can.
What?
only talk. Excuse me, Phil.
Go ahead.
Only talk when I say it's okay.
Okay.
Okay, go. Go. Your time's up. Phil.
Well, hold on. Steve wanted to say something.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say Sugarman. Not Sugarman.
Yeah, you blew it.
His name wasn't Sugarman. His name's Sugar Ray.
Is that what you wanted to say?
Yeah, I want to say his name's Sugar Ray, but we still have not been determined how he got that name.
Well, yes, it is determined, Steve. He got it from Sugar Ray. He got it from Sugar Ray. The group?
No, he got it from Sugar Ray Robinson. He was named Sugar Ray Robinson, was a prize fighter in the 50s.
That's exactly right, Sugar Ray Robinson. Who's Sugar Ray?
I don't know about Sugar Ray, but Sugarman with Danny Sugarman.
Steve, there's no Sugarman, and this is the argument we got into, Phil. Listen to the Bobby Dooley podcast. It'll be coming up. You'll hear me and Steve. And Steve is on the podcast. He was trying to talk to Mr. Sugar.
You mean Mr. Leonard?
I'm sorry, Mr. Leonard. And Mr. Leonard was being polite to Steve, but at the same time, he was looking at Steve like Steve was a freak on the wind, you know?
Well, no, he's looking at me like I was freak on the wing. He looked at you and you were a freak on the wing.
No, he did not look at me as if I was a freak on the wing. He said, "You're delightful. Please call me Ray, remember?"
Yeah, I did say that, Mr. Henry. He kept saying, "Please call me Ray."
Okay, all right, so we have Sugar Ray Leonard. That'll be fantastic. Now you also have Patty Arquette. Tell us about Patty Arquette.
Oh, Patty Arquette is amazing. She's a genius. I think she's a genius. She's a genius actress. She told us all about her sister Rosanna, which I thought was very interesting because I would, if it was me and I was being interviewed on a podcast for the country to be hearing, I'd want to talk a little bit about myself. And she was very...
Yeah, she's talking more about Roseanne Arquette and everything else.
Yeah, and she was talking a lot about Roseanne Arquette, who, as you well know, Phil, is nowhere near as good an actress as Patty.
Don't say that. You don't, you know, I think they're both, they come from a phenomenal family of actors and actresses, correct?
Yes, they do, but I mean, why was she letting Roseanne get all the credit?
Because she's her sister and she loves her, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that's a point.
Yeah, and also she talked about the guy that was Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah, her grandfather was Captain Kangaroo.
No. Her grandfather was Cliff Arquette, the comic. Charlie Weaver.
Yes, that's right, Phil. Oh, that was interesting. She said that my grandfather was on the radio, and he was Charlie Weaver, right?
Yeah, Charlie Weaver on Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, I remember seeing Charlie. A lot of people remember seeing Charlie Weaver, and that was the character that he played, Charlie Weaver, which was kind of an old-timer guy with glasses. And the actor's name was Cliff Arquette. And then the father, Patty Arquette's father's who? Louis Arquette?
Yes, Louis Arquette and another actor. And then her brother, David Arquette. So quite an interesting family. Very liberal. And I didn't approve of that. And I told her, I said, you know, Patty, I love you, but I don't approve of you. And I know it sounds funny, but that's just the way it's going to be. I love you, but I do not approve of a thing about you. So would you please... get out. And she said, all right. And she was very polite. And I said, I'm only kidding. And she said, okay. And she sat down. But she didn't laugh. And
well, I don't blame her. I wouldn't laugh at that either.
What are you talking about, Mr. Henry? It's really cool and everything.
I thought it was very funny. I said, are you kidding? I said, get out. And she said, certainly. And she collected her things. And I said, I'm only kidding. And then she still didn't laugh.
What's funny about that? You probably humiliated the woman. All right, so...
No, I did not humiliate... Get you, Mr. Henry. You are...
Well, I'm the guy that's providing the car, okay?
So that's how it is, huh?
So that's how it is, huh?
No, that's not how it is. All right, so who else?
Oh, that's not good enough for you?
No, that's fine, but who else do you have? You've got Tommy Chong. We talked about Sugar Ray Leonard. We talked about Patty Arquette.
And we have Joel McHale coming up. He is going to be delightful.
Joel McHale, funny guy, funnier than hell.
Yeah, he's really funny, and we want to be on the show if Bobby can come walk in and stuff.
Yeah, we want to get it so that Joel will have me come in and do some of the stick that he do or that he does, you know, Phil? You know?
Well, what, you mean when he has, like, different actors?
Yeah, a lot of times on the soup, Comedy Soup, he'll have an actor come out.
Yeah, we want him to do stick with us.
Well, you know, that's up to him, and it's up to his producers, and I'm sure that if you talk to him, I'm sure that he'll... you know, he'll enjoy the, you know, I don't know. I don't know how they do it.
So what are you hemming and hawing for? You're saying we're not good enough? You say we don't rate, huh?
Yeah, well, don't we rate?
Don't we rate?
I'm not saying you don't rate. I don't produce the show. I can't tell you. Maybe he will have you on. I will say this. It's not called Stick.
But it's called what?
Isn't it called Stick?
Stick. Stick.
Oh, it's Jewish. Yeah, Jewish. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jewish.
Yeah, Jewish. Yeah, Jewish.
God, what a weirdo.
You are the strangest woman in the world. You know that?
No stranger than you, Margaret.
No, really. Sitting there going, Jewish, Jewish. I have a Jewish husband. Do you mind?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything. I meant to say it sounds like...
Well, not like Jew talk. Or not Jew talk.
Just quit while you're ahead, okay? Did you mean Yiddish?
That's it. Yiddish, yeah.
Because Yiddish is sort of Germanic, yes. It sounds Yiddish. Shtick, not stick. All right, so, Bobby, we're looking forward to that. The Bobby Dooley Podcast.
Why wasn't Margaret asking any more questions? Are you afraid?
No, I'm the day, darling, the day that I'm afraid of you is the day that hell freezes over, the nuns go ice skating with the devil.
Whatever.
All right, thank you very much, Bobby and Steve.
Yeah, all right, Mr. Henry, don't forget, Bobby Dooley, the Bobby Dooley Podcast is going to be on. And remember, Mr. Henry, any Dooley will do it.
All right, we'll be right back with more of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget the Bobby Dooley Podcast debuting next week at a podcast directory near you. iTunes. iTunes, baby. iTunes.
No, it's not Stick.
No, it's not Stick.
Any Dooley will do.
Phil Henry.